Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 and 19, a scripture for the week. Scripture for the week. And I want to also say that this is the you must be very vigilant, because there are some people around who are trying to take some of my church members to another church. All right, so be careful. When anybody you know from here invites you to any other church, tell them no. Don't allow anybody to invite you to another church. This is Lighthouse is the church you come to. The fact that you know them from Lighthouse doesn't mean that they should take you to another church. And all those who do that, they are thieves. And thieves, they die early. Yeah, the Lord will deal with all thieves. So don't allow anybody to invite you to any other church other than Lighthouse. All right? Is that clear? Yeah. And you should be mature enough not for somebody to thief you. You don't let anybody thief you. You are not thiefable. You are not cheap to be thiefed. All right? This is your church. Anybody who invites you to another church, don't allow it. All right, Matthew 18:18-19. This is our verse for the week. It's long, so we're going to be a little brief about it. And then Tuesday, we start our Tuesday service. We're going to finish it up. Verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. So we want to try it about four times, and then I won't bother you because it's two verses. You give me problems. You make my temperature go high this morning. I want to be cool whilst I'm preaching. All right, so we just want to read it a couple of times and then we'll leave it for Tuesday. Matthew chapter 18, verse 18 to 19. Ready? Let's go. One more time, Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 and 19. Verily I say unto thee, of my Father which is in heaven. Amen. All right, so please memorize them. It's a very, very powerful scripture. You see, this scripture is saying that whatsoever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever we bind, whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You have power. As a Christian, as a child of God, you have power. Don't let no pastor or nobody try and make you feel like they can give you power. You don't have power. No, you are powerful. I said you are powerful. I said you are powerful. Don't let people tell you things like you have demons, you must come for deliverance service and tell. Don't allow people to tell you things. The Bible said that when you bind something here on earth, God will also bind that same thing in the heavens. Isn't that powerful?
Could you believe that God has given you so much power that if you say, hey, no, God says, I agree, it's no. So if you don't want to be a Christian, I don't know what kind of person you are. He says again that if two people shall agree about anything and they ask, he says, because you have agreed, it shall be done. Many Christians don't do these things. It's very, very important to have agreement prayers. You should have a good Christian friend, you know, who can pray with you, agree and pray with you. Don't have no ignorant, talking, empty Christian who can't agree. Because the Bible says, once you agree, so you need somebody to agree with you. And then you pray about something. God said immediately, you'll get it. It's a very, very powerful scripture to know and to memorize. Okay, so that sometimes if you are facing issues and all of that, you can say, hey, look at me. The Bible tells me that whatever I bind shall be bound in heaven. So from now, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And that's it. Finished. Don't look back, because if you look back, it means you don't believe in what you're saying. You bind and then you go. And then when you feel like there's something tight, something is tight in your life, something, you say, you know what? Hey, the Bible says if I lose something, it'll be loosed by God. So I command you to be loosed in the name of Jesus. The Bible says it shall be loosed in heaven. Hey, you don't need no deliverance service. You don't need no miracle. You don't need no anointing oil. All you need to just speak it. Hey, Christianity is a very, very powerful thing.
I feel nice about the verse. I don't know about you. All right. I want to preach how to be a steadfast Christian. We are talking about steadfastness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. How you can be a steadfast Christian. Steadfast. Steadfast. Shema, steadfast Christian. How you can be a steadfast Christian. Steadfast. Steadfast. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I want to show you a scripture in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Somewhere there. Just now, I'll find it. My Bible is loading. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Is your Bible also loading? Verse 17. Let me see verse 17. Not 17. Can you find it? Faith with a conscience, good conscience. Which verse is that, Clarky? Ned? 19. Okay. Give me 19. Yeah. Now, let's go 18. Let me see if we can. It'll make more sense from there. Yeah. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by those prophecies mightest war a good warfare. Now, he goes on in verse 19 to say that holding faith, it means that
you must be a Christian holding faith and a good conscience. You see, when you are in church, when you are in the Lord, your conscience must be good. I tell you, your conscience must be good. When you are a Christian and you are in church, everything you do in church, you must check your conscience whether your conscience is working well or not. Are you with me? Now, he says that a good conscience is very, very critical, because many people have put such away. It means that you have people who are Christians without a good conscience. It means that they are Christians, but they have something behind, you know, that motive. The motive of being a Christian is wrong. It's like if you get close to a guy in the church or a lady in the church, the conscience behind the closeness, there's something behind it. Oh, hi. And the hi is not just hi. It's like, hi, I want something. So you just see the hi, you think, like, oh, it's a hi. I mean, he says hi, so let me also say hi. But no. That's, the Bible says that as a Christian, your faith must be coupled with a good conscience. I'm coming to something. And he says that some people not using or having a good conscience concerning Christianity or concerning the faith have made shipwreck. And he goes to give an example. 20. Of whom a guy is called Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. So there are some guys, Hymenaeus and Alexander, who entered the faith with a bad conscience. And what happened was that they became shipwrecked. Now, from the word, if you go back to 19, the word shipwreck introduces, Jacob's right there, introduces into the equation or into what we are talking about, that our lives or your life is like a ship on the sea. Yeah. That you and I are like ships sailing. Sailing in the night, through storms, through cold weather, through hot weather, whatever, hurricane, tornado, all the kings and all the those. Now, that is why you see some people sing a song about a lighthouse, that Jesus is a lighthouse, because as a ship on the sea, when you get lost on such a huge river body or water body, what happens is that you need some light to lead you ashore, to tell you that, hey, even though you've been wandering on this sea for so long, when you see the lighthouse, that is the direction that this place is land. It's a safe place for you to come to. So you and I now are ships or boats. That is why it is important that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58 be taken serious, because as a boat, the Bible says that you must be steadfast, unmovable. You should not be moved as a ship. You see, if you see the way they design ship, are you okay? Everything all right? Everything okay? Don't sleep. Sit proper. Sit up. Sit up. Sit up. Sit up. Yeah, sit up. Sit up. Properly. Straight. Sit straight. Okay, the app is a problem, right? So sit straight. Forgot that I'm speaking another language. If you see canoes and ships, the ship, it's amazing that they are shaped like that and they are still able to travel in the water without going to the left or to the right. Because apart from the design and everything, or they are designed to have a little bit of it inside the water so that the rest can be stable on top of the water. Because, like, I mean, is it Archimedes' principle? Where are the scientists? that a part of the body in the water is something, something, something. I remember doing this in physics. So the part of the boat or the ship, there's a part in water and there's part above it. And that balances the whole thing. Did you get it? Now, a ship like that, when you build a boat, you build a ship, it should be able to maintain its course, whether the waves become big or not, whether there's a storm or not, the boat should still be able to remain steadfast. If you've ever seen an aircraft carrier before, or if you've ever watched a documentary about aircraft carriers, I mean, these are huge, huge ships that serve as a runway for fighter jets. Now, there are some planes that cannot come to Timiri because the runway is too short. And they don't have the gadgets. I don't know whether they've upgraded the gadgets to be able to land these planes. But there are some jumbo jets that the runway in Timiri is so short. By the time they touch the runway, it takes a long time before they can brake. By the time they brake, they are over the runway. That is why in some countries, there are some type of planes, they don't go there. Just because of the runway. Now, you have an aircraft carrier. That's a ship that you have about 20 or 30 or something. I think it would be 100 or more. Planes on 70? 70 planes on the carrier, on the ship. And these planes, they take off on the ship. They go and they release bombs wherever they are going. And they come back and they land right on the ship too. So you can imagine how big it is and what technology they use it. And with all of this, the ship is not supposed to be movable. I don't know if you are listening to what I'm talking about. That is how your Christian life is supposed to be. Yeah. Your Christian life is supposed to be steady. You see, there are many Christians who are affected by crisis and circumstances in this life. In fact, some of you are really affected by whether somebody is serving the Lord or not. Because we practice the Goliath kind of thing. The Bible says Goliath was so huge that his shield was carried by somebody. You get it? Now, the Bible says that you must, the shield is a symbol of your faith. Because the shield is what you use to you know, when the enemy throws arrows at you, it's the shield that you take to protect yourself. You see, American is American what? No, this is American, the latest one, the nice one. It's American something, American star, American boy, American hero. It's American hero? Captain America, ha! Captain America, you know, he holds a shield. And the shield can even do some things at times. But Captain America, he has a shield that when you throw, he uses to protect himself. Your faith is also serves as a protection for you. Okay. Did you get it? Now, in Goliath's days, Goliath was so big that he had somebody who was holding his shield for him. Many Christians these days have given their shields to the pastor or the person leading their church. So their faith is in the pastor, or their faith is in their home cell leader, or their faith is in an elder of the church. So that if that person falls down, they also fall. You can't afford that because steadfastness is the key. You can't depend on somebody to be steadfast or not, because as you and I are walking on this way in this world, as we are traveling, as we are sailing on the waters, storms will come, issues will come, people close to you will fall down, people close to you will leave the church, people close to you will find reasons, all kinds of things are going to come your way, but you must remain unmovable, always, not sometimes, always abounding in the work of the Lord, always, not sometimes, not most times, always. Unmovable. Are you unmovable? Are you unmovable? Check yourself. Do you have the principle and the strategies to make you unmovable? Oh. You must become a steadfast Christian. Turn to somebody and tell them you must become a steadfast Christian. Now, when you look at in the days of Jonah, when Jonah was in the boat, ran into Tarshish. And then there was a storm. And then the boat began to move with the storm. Then the people became afraid. So they said, you know what? Let us offload some goods so that we can maintain our steadiness. We can maintain our steadfastness. We can maintain our unmovability. We will be on course. Do you get it? So in a similar manner, when you want to be a steadfast Christian, there are things you will have to say bye-bye to and remove in your life.
Yeah. I tell you, if you are running a race, you can't have something on your head, weight, and running a race. Even in our church, sometimes you can see those who are stuck because they have children and they have husbands, or they have wives, they have businesses, they have jobs. Many of you, you are locked up by what you do in the secular world. It has a hold on you. Your husband is a problem. Your children is a problem. Your job is a problem. Your business is a problem. It's like those things you are not able. They're weight. You are not able to help you run. Tie down. But you need to be steadfast. Otherwise, when the storms come, the ship, the boat will, you become shipwreck. The boat will shatter. All the goods will go down into the river, into the sea. You yourself, you die. Yeah. You must build your Christian life to the extent that no matter whatever comes your way, you are strong. Your house is built on a rock. Unmovable. Somebody say unmovable.
Unmovable.
Say it one more time.
Unmovable.
Say, I am unmovable.
In
the name of Jesus. So the first thing we looked at was that if you want to be steadfast, you need to develop steadfastness by not loving the world. The love for the world must not be in your boat. Are you there? The love for the world should not be something in your boat, because that thing must go. If it's in the boat, your boat won't work. Steadfastness will be a problem. Do you have that?
Yeah.
Number two. What's number two? By last what? Last, right? By not lasting after the things in the world. Last of things in the world is also something you need to get rid of in order for your boat to be sailing smooth. In order for your life to go smooth. Because it's always that thing that you don't have that sometimes discourages you. Solomon, the thing you don't have, the thing that you're looking for, the thing that you're expecting, this, that, somebody has this, you don't have it, this and that and that and that. That's those things is what actually sometimes make people movable rather than unmovable. Number three, you're waiting. Develop steadfastness by having a proper fear of judgment. So this one, you need it in your ship. Fear of judgment. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Fear of judgment. And I'm closing very, very soon. Fear of judgment. We are praying at 12 o'clock, isn't it? For 3 hours. Today is the last day for fasting and prayer. Some of you didn't come at all. But God knows it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. So your steadfastness development depends on your ability to have a fear of judgment. It's like, if I don't watch myself and I stand before God, Brother Brian, what is he going to say? That the fear of that will help you be in line. Like, for example, again, if you are a leader of this, you're a leader in this church or in any of our branches, and you leave the church, you better don't tell anybody to leave the church too. Because judgment is coming right into your house. Right in your bedroom.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now one day you and I are going to stand before God. He's going to judge us, Pinky, according to everything we have done in our lives. Now, if we will really focus on this thing and be afraid of what God is going to ask us, it will help us to stay on course and become cool. We are most of the time deceived by the sides of God. You see, that God is like, if you want to look at it, it's like a coin. There are two sides to every coin. There's the merciful part, there's the gracious part, there's the forgiving part, there's the one who understands, there's one who tolerates, the one who, all the nonsense and all the things we do and all of that, there's that part that tolerates it. But there's another part also that will say, into the lake of fire, get away from me, get away from me. You who did evil, get away from me. There's another part also like that. So, whereas, or as much as we want to enjoy the grace and everything, you must also know that there's another side of God that will judge you by the things you have done also. Hey. And that now must make you become steadfast. You say, you know what? I don't want this problem. Please. Don't send no pornography to my phone again from today. Because I'm tired of pumping. Stand to your feet, my time is up. It's okay, it's okay. Before I go deeper. Yeah. He said, don't send me any text message again after today. You better don't talk to me like that anymore. Because you are thinking about the day when you stand before God. And that day, what is going to happen? It is worth offending somebody here on earth. It is worth it. It is worth making somebody annoyed or angry with you here on earth. Because that day of judgment is something we don't want to experience at all. If we have a fear of that judgment, it will help us. Clive, it will help us. It will help us. One of the young boys who's in Bible school now, she used to play around. She used to, you know, move from one girl to one girl and like that all the time. And the time came when he stopped. And, you know, sometimes I would see some girls around him and I would ask him, why are you there? What's happening? Then she said, Rev, I'm afraid. You're afraid? Why? He said, she's afraid that, because, you know, he stopped because I used to preach about witches and how they do, what they do to men, right? So, he became afraid. And that some of these young girls, they tie you down under the sea when you do things with them. So, since then, he told me, he said, Rev, I am afraid. He's afraid that somebody will tie him down under the sea. The fear of that thing, you know, kind of has kept him. It's kind of keeping him. Anytime, you know, a girl comes around and he thinks of tying down under the sea. You know how it feels to be tied down under the sea? Clive, have you been tied down under the sea before? No? Well, who has been tied down under the sea before? Christopher, you? Are you sure? Anybody? Samuel? You don't know. You say no. Say, I don't know. Yeah. You may never know. Yeah. It's like HIV. You don't know when you'll get it. Same thing with demons too. You don't know when you'll get it.
as you go around and you engage yourself in things. Fear of judgment should help us to be steadfast. Thank you, Jesus. Bow down your heads with me. Close your eyes. And to be pleasing you, pleasing you, and that is all I really want to do. And to be pleasing you, pleasing you, and that is all I really want to do. Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for changing our lives. Thank you for affecting us. Henceforth, we will become steadfast even as we remember what is going to happen to us on the day of judgment. Bless us, oh God, and keep us strong and firm in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You are here this morning, you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, I want to pray with you. While every eye is closed and every head is bowed, I'm going to lift up your right hand. Pastor, please pray for me. I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want to give my heart to Jesus. If you are here like that, just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray for me. You are here like that. God bless you. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come to me. Come to me. Come to the front. Come. Come. Come, my friend. Come. Come, my sister. Come. Clap for them as they come. Clap. Oh, clap for them as they come. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, clap. Clap. Are you clapping? Oh, clap. Clap. God bless you, my dear. God bless you. God bless you, my friend. Chrissy, come. God bless you. You want to join them? You want to join them? Come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Oh, clap for them. Clap for them. Somebody come. Give your life to Jesus today. Give your heart to Jesus today. Bow down your heads with me. Pray this prayer with me. Say this prayer from the bottom of your heart. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ died for me. I believe God raised him from the dead. And I believe Jesus is alive right now. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Make my heart your home. I believe with all my heart that by this prayer I am born again. I have been saved from hell. I am a child of God and my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.